Acts chapter 8. We are going to read a few verses to get the entirety of a story that takes place. Many of you might be familiar already with this story, but let's read it as it's found in the scriptures because it succinctly teaches through the steps that we're talking about this morning with regards to baptism. In Acts chapter 8, starting in verse number 26, we're going to read down through verse number 40. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had a charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came unto Caesarea. We have here the story of a man who was at the point in his life when he was searching for God. He was looking for something. He knew that in his heart of hearts, there was something missing. He desired to know what it was that this book that had been responsible for transforming and changing so many lives, the truth of God's word that he knew of or knew about, he wanted to know it. He had gotten alone in a place by himself and sat down and began to read it, looking into the pages of Scripture that he might gain an understanding, that he might ultimately understand or find God. As he did, we see here that a preacher came along. You see, the Ethiopian eunuch didn't need an easier to understand version. The Ethiopian didn't need a Bible that had been dumbed down. What he needed was somebody that had an understanding of the scriptures that had been revealed to them by the Spirit of God to come, just like he said. He says, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man show me? Somebody that had an understanding of the scriptures. And Philip sat down and began to show him that that passage of scripture he was reading about was talking about none other than Jesus Christ, who would come, who would be killed, whose life would be taken as a lamb before a slaughter, and he would say nothing and do it for you. Then the Ethiopian trusted Jesus Christ, and he had an understanding that it was expected that you get baptized. And they're riding along in the chariot, and there was a body of water there. And he says, Hey, here's some water. What hindereth me from being baptized? And he said, Well, if you truly have believed on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can be baptized. And he said, I believe. And they walked down into the water and got baptized. You have the picture here in its entirety of the process or the steps of the beginning of the Christian life of walking with God. And this morning we have a number of people that are going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Praise the Lord for that. So we want to this morning teach on baptism so that those that are getting baptized would have an understanding of what it is they're doing. Sometimes we have preconceived notions or ideas that maybe don't quite line up with the scriptures. We want to make sure that those that get baptized know exactly what they're doing and what it means from the Bible. And we want to make sure anybody here that maybe hasn't had that opportunity or is wondering about it understands, so that we're all in line with the scriptures, with our beliefs with regards to baptism. So first of all, we want to see that there must be a proper person for baptism. In verses 35 through 37, we read it. He says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and they began at the same scriptures, and he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You see, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're at the place where the Ethiopian eunuch was and you are searching. Maybe there's just some unknown questions, some things that you don't quite understand. And you say, I know about God and I celebrate Christmas and I know that he came and we celebrate Easter when he rose from the dead and I just don't understand what it all means to me personally. That's where the Ethiopian eunuch was. Well, here I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus came and he died on the cross for you personally. So you could know for sure that when the day comes that you're going to go to heaven. He came to the Ethiopian eunuch and he preached unto him that, the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Ethiopian eunuch believed. So who is the proper candidate? Who is the right person? Do we just baptize anybody that desires to be baptized? Do we just say, oh, hey, you want to get baptized? Let's just start an assembly line this morning. We're going to prop these doors open. If you want to get baptized, come up and we'll just march you right through. There are places that do that. There's no questions. There's no finding out a person's testimony of salvation. If you want to get in the water, get in. That's not biblical. There must be a proper candidate, and that is somebody that has first believed. You see, Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, if thou believest, thou mayest. First is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you first believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Ethiopian eunuch said it. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He believed on him. If you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, died on a cross for you, was buried and rose again the third day, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You've got to first believe. And all of the candidates that are being baptized this morning, those that are coming, have given us a clear testimony of their salvation, that they've trusted Jesus Christ, that they have first believed. It is somebody that believed. We see this principle all through the Scripture, the pattern of believe and then get baptized. In Mark 16, 16, the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized. In Acts 2, 41, then they gladly received his word, received the word of God, believed, and then were baptized. You never in the scriptures find baptized and then believed. You never in the scriptures find baptized to believe. No, first believe and then baptized. When you understand what baptism is, it makes very clear sense why believe must come first. You see, we'll get to it here a little bit further, but baptism is a picture, an example, a picture of what you've done in Jesus Christ. Much like I have my wedding ring on today, my wedding ring is a picture of what I've done. I got married. and my hands are a little bigger than they were 20 years ago. So I did get it off, but my finger's blue. This is a picture that I got married, correct? I'm wearing this around, and everybody that sees that knows. And if I'm not wearing it, they can see that I had a ring on and don't know where that is. Hey, that's a picture that I got married. So if I'm wearing this, I'm married, right? Andrew, come here. With this ring, No, just kidding. Put this. This goes on that hand, on that finger. Put that on there. So he has the ring on. Now he's married, right? No, that's just a picture of the fact so that everybody will know that he's married. He could wear that around all the time, but he's not married, is he? No, baptism is a picture of what you've done in believing on Jesus Christ. And so you must first believe and then get baptized. If you get baptized before salvation, before believing, then you're like him. You're just wearing around the ring. It's no good. It doesn't mean anything. You must get baptized after you believe. It comes after salvation. John required proof. In Matthew 3, verses number 7 and 8, John said, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth the fruits meet for repentance." He was saying, hey, you guys first must repent, and then you can be baptized. They didn't show any proof of repentance, proof of believing on Jesus Christ. The only proof that we require at Hunt Valley Baptist Church is your testimony of salvation. That is between you and God. You must believe on Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if you, by your testimony, come and say, there was a day, I might not know the exact hour, I might not know that it was September 26th, but I know there was a day, there was a time that I bowed my head in belief and trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. By your testimony, that's the proof we need. And say, you first believed, you are a good candidate for baptism. And baptism is what all Christians should desire to do. Let me just say that we do not baptize babies at Hunt Valley Baptist Church. You see, we just established very clearly, I think, the fact that belief comes before baptism. Okay? If belief comes before baptism, how could a child, an infant, first believe? They can't. They have no way of doing so. Baptism is just a picture of what you've already done. The child, an infant, has not already done anything with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not teaching on that, but an infant is secure. He is not going to pass off into an eternity in a place called hell without Jesus Christ because he has not reached the age of accountability yet. And if you have questions about that, I'll be glad to talk to you some more. But until they understand, they're not held accountable. But until they're held accountable and they believe, baptism does nothing for them. So we do not baptize infants. No place in this book, zip, zero, nada, not one time, is there any example, illustration, or implication of a baby being baptized. So those that practice infant baptism are not following the Bible. Now, one person said, show me one verse in the Bible that says I shouldn't baptize my baby. Well, we don't base doctrine for the church off of what the Bible doesn't say. One pastor who this happened to is very wise. It came to his mind. The Holy Spirit brought it to him. And he had just heard recently about a church in his town that baptized people's pets. They baptized their dogs and their cats and their gerbils. I don't know if they did goldfish or not. I don't know how you take them out of the water, put them back, I don't know. But he said in reply to this man, he said, the verse on thou shalt not baptize babies is right underneath the verse that says, thou shalt not baptize thy pets. Obviously, neither one of them are in the Scripture. But understanding that when we start to practice things just because there's not a clear command not to, there's no end to where we may end up. God has given two ordinances to the church and told the church how to do it. We need to follow the biblical pattern, not make up our own pattern out of convenience. It is wrong to add to the doctrines of the Bible. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, the Bible says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." If any man should add unto. So what hinders you from doing infant baptism? That's adding to what God said. And it's not there. It's not in the Scriptures. So we don't practice infant baptism because you need the proper candidate. And the proper candidate is somebody that has first, what?
Believed.
So everybody's on the same page. We need the proper candidate. The proper person to get baptized is somebody that has first believed. Then we need the proper purpose, the purpose for baptism. Why do we get baptized? Understanding these things is what helps us have clarity in why we don't do infant baptism, why we don't sprinkle, why we do things the way that we do. Understanding this gives us clarity for our purpose and why we accomplish it. First of all, the purpose for baptism is because it was commanded by God. God commanded it. It's a matter of obedience. Here we have the example of the Ethiopian eunuch who got saved. And in the implication of the story, it was very soon they got into their chariots and they began to ride down the road and they saw a body of water. And he says, "Hey, here's water. What hindereth me from getting baptized?" He had at some point heard or knew that believers were supposed to get baptized. And this was a step of obedience for the Christian. And he says, "What hinders me from doing that?" And he followed the Lord in what was commanded. In Matthew 28:19, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." God gave the great commission to the church. And we are to go and see people saved and baptized. Jesus gave us a tremendous example in how important this is by himself, Jesus himself, getting baptized. He was God in the flesh. If anybody didn't need to follow in that step of obedience, you would say it was him. I don't think anybody would have questioned it one way or the other, but Jesus, by example, said, "Hey, do as I've done. Get baptized." It's a step of obedience. C.H. Spurgeon said, "Many people look at baptism and say, well, what does it mean or what significance does it have? What does it accomplish? I mean, there's no salvation in water. The water doesn't wash away any sin. You know, what good is it?" And he said, for some who would want to discount or discredit or to not follow the Lord in believers' baptism, because of that, don't understand the relationship between them and Jesus. Don't understand the relationship and the desire to obey. He said this, "If what looks to be unreasonable or seems to be unprofitable, being commanded by God, is law, it is law unto me. If my master had told me to pick up 6 stones and lay them in a row, I would do it. Without demanding of him, what good will this do? It is no fit question for a soldier of Jesus. The very simplicity and the apparent uselessness of such an ordinance should make the believer say all the more, therefore I do it because it is a better way to test of me my obedience to my master." It's just a matter of obedience. Jesus said to get baptized. Okay, let's get baptized. When you go to work, you get a new job, and the boss says, "I want you to stack all these things right here." "What for?" "Well, I don't think that stacking those there makes a lot of sense." No, you're the employee. The relationship there is command, obedience. You say, okay, you stack them right there. One day when I was working at Walmart when I was a teenager, my manager walked up to me and he says, "Caleb, I want you to get a broom and go sweep the parking lot." I turned and went to get a broom. I did not know he was using that as an illustration. The district manager for a region of Walmart's there I was walking away to get a broom, and he said, see, that's what I was talking about. He never questions me. He said, Caleb, I was just kidding. You don't need to sweep the parking lot. I was going to get a broom. That's what I had been taught. Command, obey. That's why we get baptized. Because God said so. Who cares what the reasoning is? Who cares what it means? Just the fact that God Almighty said this is what we should do should be enough. Now, he's given us so much more, but it is an identification. We publicly identify with Christ. You know, somebody said, you might be a country church if they call baptism branding. But that's what it is. You're being branded. One of the boys on the bus route, not our bus route, but came in on the bus route, and he didn't quite understand or didn't hear correctly. But he had kind of heard about baptism, and he was excited about it. And he came in, and he shook the pastor's hand, and he said, Pastor, this morning I want to get advertised. He said it wrong, but he said it right. That's what it is. It's identifying with Jesus Christ. When a great ball player like Michael Jordan or LeBron James or somebody like that signs with a new team, they get together in a room that's all private. There's nobody around. They sit down. They talk about the ludicrous amount of money that they're going to pay this guy to bounce a piece of pigskin around. And they achieve some multi-million dollar contract for a set period of time, and they sign it. Nobody really knows about all that. But once they get done with the contract, they hold a press conference, don't they? They get out publicly, and somebody had made a jersey for this ball player with his number on it and his name made in the colors of the team that he signed for. And they hold a press conference, and they tell everybody, he has signed to play for so-and-so. He signed up. Here's his jersey. He's letting the whole world know. That's what baptism is. You see, the contract is when I, in my own private, between me and God, I get down and I sign the contract with God. And I say, God, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that you can forgive my sins and that you can take me to heaven when I die. Lord, forgive me. Take me to heaven when I die. And Jesus Christ forgives you of your sin. That's when you sign the contract. That is done. It's sealed. There's nothing else needed to be added to that. You are on your way to heaven. If you never get baptized, baptism has nothing to do with salvation. The contract's done. But then you hold a press conference. And you say, hey, I want the whole world to know that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he can forgive me of my sins. And I'm publicly going to say this morning before all and identify with Christ. We get baptized because baptism is necessary for membership. It does not, in our church, equate membership. There are many churches that if you get baptized there, you automatically become a member of the church. They get that from the book of Corinthians. It's a practice that many hold, and I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with it. But we make it separate because we want you to be able to follow the Lord in baptism and do what God says to do without deciding that you're going to be a member of this church. That is a decision all of its own. If you believe God wants you to be here and you want to join this church, then that's great. Here, we don't practice where you automatically become a member. But baptism is necessary for somebody that would want to be a member. Baptism, as the first step of obedience, is a picture, an identification with Jesus Christ. Now, we do not accept baptisms from other faiths, practices, or doctrines. If you say, well, I got saved when I was 7 years old at Bible camp, and when I was in India, I got baptized at the first Mormon tabernacle there. Well, we as a church would not recognize or accept that baptism because they do not believe baptism is a picture of the gospel. It is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all a public picture of what we believe. So if I get baptized in a faith that does not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, or does not believe in the eternal security of the believer, or does not believe in the blood atonement, then my gospel has been perverted. That is why we wouldn't accept, oh, yeah, everybody's welcome. No, we would like a pure church, a clean church. So we need to make sure everybody has beliefs lined up with the book. And that's why we're very careful about accepting baptisms from another church. We do accept baptisms from another church if they are a church of like faith and practice, but not from other denominations or other faiths. Just so everybody understands that. Their doctrine is different. Their doctrine on God is different. The doctrine of the church is different. And we must be careful. Then there's a proper procedure for baptism. Verses 38 and 39 in our text. The proper procedure for baptism. He says here, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water." Went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. "And he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip." So they went down into the water. There was much water there. The proper procedure for baptism is immersion, putting you under the water. That's what we practice here. And that's not just because what we like to do. That's not just because we're Baptists and that's what Baptists do. That's not just because we feel that it's an amazing ceremony. And we feel so spiritual at the completion of this ceremony. No. We practice immersion because that is the example given to us in the Scriptures. That is the principle that we find in the Scriptures. They went down into the water. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. And when we take away the picture, we take away the example given to us of his death, his burial, and the resurrection. In Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death." This is an example of being buried with Jesus Christ, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The example, the picture of being buried like Jesus Christ was buried, raised to walk in newness of life. The Greek word baptize is baptizo, and baptizo means to dip, to put under. This scripture principle is very clearly taught all the way through the Bible. In Matthew 3:16, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water." Jesus was down in the water to get baptized. In John 3:23, "And John also was baptizing because there was much water there." So at each place in the scripture that you see baptism, you see there was much water. There was much water. They went down into the water. We all want to be in line with the scriptures, correct? There is no practice anywhere in the scriptures of pouring or sprinkling. It's not found in here. Those that practice pouring and sprinkling are not following this because it's not in the book. What they do is they do that as a matter of convenience. It's a lot more convenient for you to stand here and let me drip some water on you than to get changed, get all the way into a water. I mean, we wouldn't even have to have that whole baptistry bag. We could use that space for something else. But we believe the biblical principle should be followed and that you should be put under. We want to follow the Bible in what we do. And hopefully you do as well. It's not just this is what we like or what we want to do. It's what the Bible teaches. And that's why we try and follow that. The proper procedure for baptism. Then there's a proper place for baptism. A proper place to do it. You know, look in verses 26 and verse number 29 of our text. When you understand the proper place, you need to understand authority. Verse number 26, the Bible says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go." So the angel of the Lord, a message from God, had told him to go do this. And then in verse number 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." The authority for him to baptize this Ethiopian eunuch was given to him by God. The angel of the Lord said to do it. Now, the authority to baptize in our day and age is given to the church. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son." Who was given the Great Commission? The church was given the Great Commission. The church is the proper place for baptism. Now, let me ask you, can anybody, even if they have the skill set, even if they understand everything there is to know about printing money, can anybody go print money? No. They may be really, really good at it. They may be able to produce 100% genuine piece of paper as far as looks like money. But it's still counterfeit, isn't it? Because they don't have the authority to print money. The authority comes from and is given to a person or an organization, and that is what makes it credible. That is what makes it acceptable. Can just anyone practice medicine? You may fancy yourself a great healer, but if you go out and practice medicine without a license, you're in trouble because you have not passed the test and been given a license to do that. You don't have the authority to do that. These are governed by the laws of government. Baptism is governed by the laws of God. All of the conditions must be met in order to have a biblical baptism. You must have the proper person and the proper authority. All sincerity in the world does not make you the proper person or the proper authority. The authority to baptize comes from the church. So the church could choose to baptize in a river, and that would be a great place. The church could decide to get baptized in a swimming pool. If we didn't have this, then we'd say, okay, we're all going to go over here to the Hunt Valley Inn, and we're going to borrow their swimming pool, and we're going to have a baptismal service. I've done that several times in different churches or ministries where they borrowed somebody's pool. In Trinidad, they go and they borrow somebody's pool in their backyard, and they hold a baptismal service. They don't have a pool in their church. They don't have a pool, a baptismal. They don't have room for it. So wherever the church deems acceptable, I mean, when I was a kid, I was baptized in a horse trough. Enough water to dunk me, to dip, to immerse, to put under. But what makes it proper is the authority that comes from the church. John was first baptized. John said, "He sent me to baptize." He was given his authority from God. John 1, verse number 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." John was sent from God to baptize. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, submitted himself to the authority of a man that had been given to that man by God the Father. And he got baptized by John. So you see, the authority comes from and was given to the church to baptize. We need to follow this. Jesus walked, from what I understand, 60 miles so that he could be baptized by the only man who had the authority to do it. Jesus knew what baptism was. He could have just come over and said, "Hey, Richard, you busy? Could you walk over here in the water with me and just dunk me? I can get this baptism out of the way." No, he wanted to show that there was an authority that was passed down, and he followed that. So we need to be sure that it happens with the authority of the church. Our place of baptism here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church is in the baptistry. We've been blessed to have a baptistry, and it has a built-in heater, and it's nice and warm. And unlike the place that I got baptized when I was a kid, it was freezing cold. So hopefully this brings a complete picture to everybody present about why we as a church practice this and the importance of it. If you haven't been baptized since you got saved, understand it's believe, baptize. You need to get baptized after salvation. And we would love to talk to you more about that.